never.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another episode of Unscripted. We're going to introduce it correctly this time. Today on Unscripted, we have, of course, Robbie McIntyre, Matthew Gage, and we have Kyle Tisdale.
Hello, hello.
Joining us on the show today.
So good to be here.
We're going to have a great show today. It's unscripted. We're done.
Oh, no, Matthew.
Oh, he's readjusting the mic.
Hello.
All right.
How you doing, dear?
So how goes it, boys?
We're here. We're talking for the internet to listen.
How you doing, internet?
Everyone listening?
Say hello to the internet, Kyle.
Let's go around. We can, like, introduce ourselves. Maybe just say one fun fact and... Actually, yeah. Yeah, one fun fact about yourself.
About ourselves?
Who wants to start?
My name is Matthew Gage, and I like to party.
Oh.
That was going to be my line. You can't use that one.
Well, that's what happens when you go first.
And
you
get the I'm the line. One that likes to party.
Wait. Robbie, what do you like to do?
My name's Robbie, and I really enjoy the smell of used books.
Nice. All right.
My name's Kyle Tisdale. First time on the podcast. Thank you, Eric.
That's a fun fact. It's his first time.
And the fun fact about me is I also like to party.
Oh, okay. Look at that.
That's very nice, dear.
My name is Eric, and I enjoy watching frogs lay eggs.
Frogs lay eggs?
Yeah. The ones that, like they swim around with the egg sacs attached to their backs?
No. No, they lay their eggs, and then the eggs hatch, and then they turn into tadpoles.
I didn't know this.
I feel like there's different varieties.
There could
I feel
be
like you're right,
frog
Rob.
Egg sacs.
I, yeah. My new, a new something that's new and interesting about me is I'm going to get really into learning about tadpoles in a little bit here.
Okay.
But yeah, that's everybody that... That's up in the microphone. Wiring.
You're all tangled up.
We're kind of
so
flying
tangled
by the seat of our pants here with this setup.
Drop that chair down. All right, let's get started. So we have a little randomizer thing here that's basically going to choose what we talk about for the next little bit. We'll take a break with a nice little made-up song by the crew in the middle, and then we'll pick up another topic. So we just stuck these in. Let's give it a shake. All right. So we're going to talk about... album art. How important do you guys feel album art is?
I think it depends on the genre.
Depends on the genre?
Yeah.
I feel like it's always important.
I would agree with that. I totally think it's always important.
I'd say it's always important.
Well, I mean, I don't know, like...
You don't think it's always important?
Well, it's not... The album art's not really what's selling
you
me on
bitch.
An album.
You bitch!
True. You're supposed to agree, Matthew.
Step outside real quick.
We're supposed to find the common ground.
It's a good way to go into an album, though.
It is, but, like, I don't know. It's like the album art's not. It's not what's selling me on an album. It's it's the band. It's
I
the
mean,
music.
It is your first impression.
It's like
I'd say the first single is the first impression.
When you receive a dish at a restaurant and you eat with your eyes before you eat with your mouth.
Oh,
like at a record store,
baby.
You can kind of eat with your eyes that way.
Well, like you saw my bowl of stew I had last night. It honestly wasn't the best-looking dish you've ever seen, but I can guarantee you...
That is true. Okay, he makes an excellent point.
I didn't know where you were going with that, but I like it.
Oh, we have a visitor.
Oh, and we have a special
K-Von.
Guest, K-Von.
Oh, welcome,
do you
want to
come say hey?
Welcome, K-Von, to the podcast.
I see you grab a TRS cable.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sorry, guys. Not
hey, no,
no
K-Von's a part of the podcast. A great teacher.
K-Von, how important do you think album art is?
Extremely important.
Extremely important?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it's the visual representation of your full piece of work.
I like that.
See, Matt here disagrees.
They say don't judge.
Are you talking about for business purposes or are we talking about for music purposes?
Just for like.
It doesn't necessarily matter.
Yeah. Business, you say for business it
matters? I would say for business it matters.
Honestly, the music itself doesn't even matter anymore.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
There's a lot of music out there.
There's a lot of bad music and it's promoted and marketed very well. Mm.
I would say that when I first...
You know, it's true.
Perfect examples, the White Album and the Black Album.
Okay, when I first discover an album, I'm listening to the tracks going, I like this or I don't like this. And then I see the album art afterwards, and it influences how I feel about the album overall, I feel like.
It has potential to influence how you feel about it.
I'll join the next one.
Yeah, no, you totally should.
Cool. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's all good, man.
Have a good one.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen,
where were we? Is your microphone backwards?
No.
It totally is.
That shows the pattern. You're supposed to speak into that.
Some technical difficulties here, folks.
Your voice is going to sound like shit. I flipped that around.
Fix it, dear.
I'm twisting it.
He's twisting.
Oh, you gotta do this like a paper.
And this is unscripted.
All right. Welcome back to Unscripted.
Hey, you want to talk again there, Rob?
Yeah, here I am talking.
It's probably going to be like relatively the same level. It might just be clear. We might have just flipped it the wrong way.
I disagree with that.
But I do think that it is important. Because I've purchased a couple albums just going off the album artwork alone.
It's definitely more important in today's world where a lot of the music is a lot more image-based.
It is, for sure.
Because, like,
I mean, there are some really good, like, classic rock albums that have absolutely shitty album covers.
Exactly. Like, if you go into a vinyl store and start going through old vinyls, like, you're going to see some real pieces of work that are just like, what the hell is this? But it could turn out to be some of the best music you've ever heard in your life.
It's true. But, like, think of Pink Floyd and Dark Side of the Moon. Mm. Another Brick in the Wall. Those album covers are so associated with the music, and it's like they're inseparable, right? Mm. If that,
especially,
you know,
got a point.
I feel like it's a good balance of like getting somebody or getting some album art that actually like kicks ass, but your music also has to kick ass. It's like kind of the synergy between those two things.
What about Led Zeppelin 4 with the old man and the hoe and the wheelbarrow?
That's pretty iconic, but...
I love that.
But then you guys are mentioning bands where it's just, like, the music is just untouchable. Like, those are albums with songs where it's, like, you
okay, well, yeah,
them.
We're mentioning great That's albums. True. Yeah. Right. You're
well,
right.
Well, not every album being released is great, unfortunately.
That's true.
Like, there could be an album that's got, like, amazing artwork, and it's like, ooh, this is cool, but the music's kind of, you know...
But at least you listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a bit more exposure that way.
You listen to it once and never listen to it again.
Listen, I guess. But yeah. That's true. I would say it's really important, like, if you're going through a record store and maybe you're just looking for samples or something, and it'll pick your eye that way.
True.
Yeah, definitely.
So
Have you guys seen the videos? I think you showed me that, Robbie, where, like, they blindfold a producer and they get them to, like, run
through.
Rhythm
Roulette.
Yeah,
Rhythm Roulette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super cool.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
like,
an amazing concept. Yeah.
It's almost like, I feel like album art almost gives people a bias towards music.
Oh, right off the bat.
Because if it's a cooler looking album art
to them,
then they'll buy it, even though there might be better music out there.
I definitely agree with that.
Right?
I feel like that's the most important thing, is that like when people go into a record store, and that, like, I would definitely buy an album that had a really awesome album cover,
yeah,
like, without even hearing it.
You'd pick it up and you'd read it and you'd consider it way more than an album cover that didn't catch your eye.
Because I feel like if I see a really creative piece of artwork or a really creative photograph being used as an album cover with really good design overall, I feel like that reflects the approach and the music.
Yeah, I feel like your brain just makes that association right away. Like, even if the music is shit. Because I've done that before, where, like, I buy that album based off the cover and I take it home and I listen to it. I'm like, this is the biggest mistake I've ever made. I just blew $35 on, like,
a really
shitty record.
But I have a cool art piece now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, at least it looks cool, right? Mm. I feel like colored vinyl, if you're, like, into collecting vinyl, I feel like colored vinyl is kind of one of those fads now, too, where it's, like, it could be shit music, but it's just kind of cool to have, like,
a color pressed vinyl. Does the colored vinyl sound different than the...
No. Like, I bought, like, one that's, like, half neon green, half black. Just because it said it on like the sticker. I was like into collecting colored vinyl for a little bit. But I feel like it's almost that level where it can be for visual art or it can be for like audio.
Depends
art.
What you value. Some people don't value that at all. So
I don't know. I mean, just think of like recent like pop stars and like the stuff that they've released. Like what album covers have stood out to you, if any?
There's honestly none I can think of because like, like buying an actual whole physical album is like...
What about Sgt. Pepper's Lonely House Club Band?
Oh, yeah. Dude.
You mentioned the White Album, which is like... I think the White Album is an amazing cover because it's, you know...
You know that they thought about that.
Definitely.
You know
it wasn't...
They didn't cop out. What's going to be the album cover for this song?
That was not a cop out, them being like, fuck it. You know, it was definitely a decision.
I feel like that's the case with Rubber Soul. That album cover's kind of...
That album not their strongest. Like a, that was like just a pretty typical 70s.
Yeah, it was
cover.
Just like, you know, like the one, like the one album, the one photo they have, like them, like looking down, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
an iconic image, but like
from one of their earlier albums.
Yeah,
like in a shopping
really
mall.
Old one. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, they're all just looking down and they got
chins
their.
Going.
Yeah. Have you seen the album cover for To Pimp a Butterfly?
Ooh.
Very good album cover.
Very good album cover. But that has a political message too, right?
Well,
album's a political message that helps mend the music with the art, right? Uh-huh. Especially with that album.
Going towards a concept album, you know?
Definitely a concept, but like Kendrick's like next level with those concepts.
I feel like when people do it right, it's great. But it's so easy to get wrong.
Uh-huh. Well, what about like going in the opposite direction? What about Blonde, Frank Ocean? Have you seen that cover?
Oh yes.
It's him. He's got like the blue. He's got like the blue buzz, like bluish green buzz cut, like a tennis ball head. When he's got like his hand covering his face.
And it's like I think he's appearing to be like crying, and he's in like a shower background. It looks like almost with like the tiles.
When I first saw that, I was like, "What? That's kind of silly." But then it grew on me, and I actually now really like that cover.
And I really associate it with the music.
And it was because of the music, right?
It reflects the album really well.
Right. Really well. Yeah.
But that's like, I have no idea.
It's so interesting.
I have no idea what Kendrick Lamar's first album, what the cover looks like. All
Section
I know
80?
Is that's a phenomenal
80,
debut album.
It's like chains and AK-47 rounds on top of a speaker. And it's,
like weed.
Yeah.
And Bible.
Yeah.
All I know is that's a debut album.
Things that like he associates with his life. And that, so putting that as like an image for his music really resonates with him and what he's putting out. So I mean that like resonates completely, but there's also like album arts that don't resonate at all with their music. So like, but it's more, it creates like an abstract,
isn't
like
it, isn't it interesting though that like what Robbie was saying, how he was like, I hated the album art at first, but the more I listened to the music, I started to like the album art and I understood
that
the
is
art.
Interesting because it's like, the same art, but
it's so weird how like as humans we make that like really weird like audiovisual connection.
Mm-hmm.
Like you do it with movies and shit all the time.
Oh, for sure.
Like if the Star Wars theme song came on, I could like picture exactly in my head.
Oh, the rolling credits?
Like
for sure.
The rolling credits and like the, you know, it just pops up in my head.
Right.
Audiovisual people.
So like how big of a deal is it then if like a shitty album cover, if it's good music, and then the album cover grows on you because you so
that,
with
I guess it's kind of, you kind of backed up my point with the album cover not being important. Like it was an album cover that you didn't like at first, right? So
it didn't sell me on the record.
So so you would label it as a not good album cover.
But why did you know about Frank Ocean?
I had been a fan of his for a number of years before
What got you into him though?
Channel Orange.
Channel Orange for sure. Yeah, but there was one.
Or Nostalgia Ultra.
No, I got into Channel Orange first, and then like there was like some tracks off of. I definitely prefer Channel Orange to his other two records. But there was one night when I was high on acid on New Year's Eve, and I was laying in a field in Australia, and I didn't really care for Frank Ocean at the time, and then people put him on, and then we were listening to like Pink Matter. And that the outro beat with Andre 3000 came on, and I was like, "Holy crap!" I was like having the like most amazing time. And then, it was different after that for sure.
Wow. But I was just gonna say, I brought up Channel Orange because the album art is basically just an orange blob with his name on it, isn't or the album name on it. Right?
It's like the White Album, but it's orange, and it says Channel Orange.
what am I thinking of? The one that's got the picture of the orange car.
That's Nostalgia Ultra.
Yeah. Okay. That looks like a single, like, artwork. You know, what I mean?
It's for his record.
Like, I don't say that looks like an album art. It looks like this artwork for a single, but like, regardless, it's like that's it's kind of shows like the artwork doesn't have to be as important, but it's just having unreal music like that.
Do you guys listen to Thundercat?
Oh yeah.
Do you know his album Drunk?
Drunk.
That's got a really cool cover.
Love
that
cover.
That's a cover that will sell you before you listen to it. It's like him. It's like him.
It sold me.
It's like him in some dirty, like a dirty pool of water, and he's like submerged so that only the top half of his face is showing. Mm-hmm. And it looks like a 1950s, like a Western movie, something.
He's got an interesting face he put on for it. Yeah. And for me, it dragged me from the very beginning. Like
I saw that cover, and I was like, "That's gonna be a cool album."
That's gonna be cool.
I can tell that's gonna be a cool album when I first looked at it.
I hate to beat a dead horse, but yeah, I saw him on John Mayer's Instagram Live. I think it was last week.
I love that expression.
I hate to be a dead horse.
I hate to beat a dead horse, but I'm gonna beat a dead horse.
I thought you said be a dead horse, and I was like, "Whoa!"
No,
I'm
like beating a dead horse.
But yeah, he was on John's Instagram Live show, Current Mood with John Mayer, and yeah, they played a song of his, and he's unreal.
Thundercats,
really fucking good.
Crazy. Instrumentally wise,
like he's got it down.
There's
like
not many people that can play
the way he can sing. He's a good writer. Like that's
incredible. 5-string or 6-string?
6-string.
Ibanez.
That sounds about right. It's
gorgeous.
This gigantic flamed orange hollow body.
Yeah,
Ibanez,
that's the one.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. I saw on Erykah Badu's Instagram that she played a show with Thundercat, and they had separate sets. But he used to be like her main bass player, like years ago. He used to tour with her band, and then he went off and did solo shit afterwards.
Nice.
That would be cool.
Nice.
Thundercat on bass and Erykah Badu.
Thundercat and Kendrick Lamar. That was on To Pimp a Butterfly. What song was that? Wesley's Theory. Was that?
Thundercat like played on all the tracks on that album.
On that album,
and
right?
He played on all the tracks on the Untitled Unmastered.
That's so cool though.
Yeah,
just like having that connection.
If you listen to the track Complexion off of To Pimp a Butterfly with Rhapsody, you can totally hear Thundercat's playing and his voice in the back. That's a very Thundercat track.
Yeah, I really like his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Vocals, high pitch vocals. Hey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's just really good.
Anyhow,
creative. Anyway, yeah, it's a little off topic, but
album art.
Album art. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that.
I don't know. I want to say that it does matter, but then there's so many arguments that like it really doesn't.
Depends what you value and depends.
But
yeah.
I feel like as an artist, if I was going to put out an album, I would want to pay attention to my album art.
Exactly.
I would want to make sure that it was good.
Because you value that.
For me, it's huge.
I think
for me it's important too.
Like I'm not going to have like a picture of me on the me on the toilet as an album cover would be pretty dope. I'm not going to lie.
It would raise some questions.
What are you doing? Cool.
But like a really dumb picture. A really dumb picture that just like doesn't necessarily suit the music.
They're like pop punk covers.
Mm. But I like those. Oh yeah, no, but
it works
like really
with that
shitty
genre.
Like word art kind of stuff.
Like a slice of pizza.
Word art.
Like okay, you know whose album covers I hate? It's like Cypress Hill.
Oh, Cypress Hill.
Like
it's
that font.
It's been a while.
It's kind of like an old English type of deal.
Yeah, it's like an old English like gothic kind of thing.
Right.
And I'm like, it's okay. What's the like the t-shirts, like Thrasher t-shirts or whatever? It's like that. It's like that font. And I'm like, oh,
yeah, but
God.
Have you heard their music?
But I was
that's great. No.
You listen to their music and that cover makes sense.
I guess.
Like, it goes with the vibe. It's more of an aggressive thing, but like at the same time it's
like that's just that whole thing, that image that creates to me, just like it doesn't do it for me. You know? So, like, I wouldn't want to do something like that. I'd want, like, a little more of a rich visual, like the examples that we're having where it's like, yeah, like, cool, I want to pick that up. And like, that's got to be good music. Like, I feel like that sort of attention to detail is good, but I think ignorance can also kind of just ignoring it altogether and just putting it out just for the music.
I think the standalone merch would be more important.
The merch?
Yeah. Like, you know, shirts and stuff and, you know,
that's
stuff
true.
People buy.
That's true.
Like, the only time you're really looking at album art is when it comes up on your Spotify or whatever, right?
Yeah, that's
but, like,
true.
Other than that, like,
feel like
people still buy merch. People
would
love
you say that
merch.
Brand, like branding, artist yeah. branding, is more definitely more important than album art.
Mm-hmm.
An artist branding like totally helps them expose their music to more people, because if you don't like the art, like if you don't know anything about their music, and you find an artist and you just see things about their social media or like what they have out there, that'll drag you into the music. If you don't like image, I don't know, maybe you don't like, this is going way off topic, but like maybe you don't like 6ix9ine's whole look. Are you gonna listen to his music?
I have not.
I don't plan to, right? So it's not interesting to me, right? And you just hear like just how he looks or whatever, like that whole image that he gives out. Oh, yeah. But then, and that's so
I feel like the artist brand almost overarches album covers a little bit, because I mean like their brand will influence like what their album cover is going to look like,
especially in the day of social media.
But also I've seen so many bands just go in totally different directions for their album covers, like depending, and they'll like totally like reformat their brand based on an album. But I've also seen a lot of, like a band like Coldplay, like ever since, like with Viva La Vida, like what they did with their branding, like for that, like they're all in like old military uniforms and stuff like that. But then Milo Xylotto was like graffiti and shit. And then like Head Full of Dreams was like way more like kaleidoscopic.
Creating a concept for like each big release, right?
I feel like artists that do that, I have some serious respect for, where they're just like, it makes their album more of like an art piece,
rather, and it feels a lot more grand.
Like, here you go. Like, this is just the music. So it's like, I feel like it depends on what you're planning on doing with that album. But also, their earlier shit, they didn't do that because all they were doing was playing like small venues. Like, with even with X and Y, they didn't really do anything with their live shows.
I feel like that's not true. X and Y, they had Fix You.
I feel like no, that's I meant when like art-wise.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, if you saw them tour that album, there was nothing that was just like, oh yeah, they're doing the thing from the album art, you know? It was just them on a stage.
Yeah.
Or like Rush of Blood to the Head, it was just them on a stage.
Yeah, well, that was a cool cover, though.
It's a cool cover, but it's like their show didn't really. So it, I feel like it kind of...
The concept.
It depends on like how big you are, too, and how far you can take it.
Mm.
I don't know. It's a good discussion to have, because like, I feel like it's something that a lot of people skip over. Where you're like, oh yeah, you make the album and then you're like really proud of it, and then you just don't put any thought into the album art.
Yeah, like I got a great song.
Like, let's, I don't know if that's that. Necessarily a mistake, though. To not even think about it. Do you think that people need to think about it at least?
It's so individualistic.
For the most part, I mean, you don't want to be putting out album art with like something not
just
good.
Just one
on
penis.
People don't care, though.
Exactly.
A very nice, very full penis.
Yeah, just a picture of, what's his name?
Yeah, Death Grips album cover? Giant penis.
Picture of, Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz.
Very big, very full penis.
Yeah, that's, you know, that'd be a killer album art. You know?
We are here at Unscripted feel like this did not get enough attention.
And we're bringing it to the forefront. The foreskin forefront.
The foreskin, we're bringing it to the foreskin. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I feel like there's something to be said for musicians that purposefully don't make a big like brand for themselves, and they're just like being all raw and they're like being all about the music. And I feel like they get a big following because of that, and I feel like people like that.
Some musicians do, but I feel like a lot of them don't. You know? Like
most don't. Yeah, you're right.
There's such a big pressure to create like a brand, because it's just like natural for people to, like, if you go onto somebody's Instagram page and like all the pictures are like willy-nilly and like you don't have like enough pictures of yourself, it's just like, and it says musician in the title, you're just like, the fuck is this? This dude isn't actually a musician, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's important to have that cohesiveness. But I've also, like, I don't know if you guys know Craig Cardiff at all. He's a Canadian singer-songwriter guy, but his Instagram page is just like all over the place with posts and stuff. Like, he posts like five or six times a day.
Well, like Snoop Dogg.
It's like a picture of a lighthouse, or it's like a picture of his kids or something, right? It's like all over the place, but he has like upwards of like millions upon millions of streams on Spotify. Like, because his music is just that good. So, I don't know.
And people also probably connect with him on that personal level more.
Right. It's like, where's I feel like that's kind of why it's so individualistic. It's like, what kind of person are you?
Yeah, it depends what kind of music you're making. And if it's like more wholehearted music, right, then people are going to want to connect with you on that wholehearted basis, right? And having like a social media page which shows more of like your wholehearted life, I think that's important for that kind of music. But would you want that same? I mean, some people have that same style with like music that just goes hard 24/7. But true. There's also music that goes hard that's all they post on their Instagram page. And you don't see like all of their life and their kids and everything, but it's, you know, drugs, money, stuff like that, women. And maybe that floats other people's boat, but it's your audience too, right? So
true. Do you think that kind of connects to like album art? Like maybe that's the reason why that some people think about it and then other people don't. It's just based on like who they are as a person.
Okay, on that subject, what's the general opinion of Travis Scott's Astroworld?
The album art? Oh, they had a controversy around that, right? They removed one of the women. That's what it was. What was she? She was, I'd have to bring that up. I think she was like, I don't want to say she was transgender or something. And then they ended up removing her from the cover. And then everyone was like, oh, you removed her. It wasn't a stylistic thing. It was like because she was trans or something. Mm. And then Travis was like, no, like we had a conversation. It was like a stylistic thing. There was just too much like on the album art. But
I could agree with that.
I'd have to bring that up.
I can see why people would maybe go in that direction.
Right. Album art wise.
That one?
That's the daytime one. The nighttime one has a bit more R-rated things on it.
Oh, I see one with SpongeBob on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved Rodeo. I like the album concept of Rodeo, the little action figure on top of the RV there. Yeah, this is the nighttime one. So. Who was removed?
For those of you that can't see,
describe it to me.
What you're seeing here is a very large golden head with a golden smoke billowing forth from its mouth, and a naked woman grasping her right buttocks, laying on a purple couch with hearts.
Very nice, very full buttocks.
There's some more naked ladies. Oh, there's one trapped in a box with her titty showing.
Okay, so right off the bat, what kind of music are you expecting to hear when you see that?
100% rap.
You go into that. So it's going to be more, you know, grimy rap stuff, maybe not for all ages, right?
Yeah. It portrays that.
So for
honestly, I wish I had
And
no
it's
idea
got so a parental advisory logo.
I mean, that
that definitely says it right there.
To me, I have to hide that from my mother.
We have NWA
and my daughter.
They still put the explicit content stickers on albums?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I
just
think
said.
They legally
I
have to.
See it.
Parental advisory, Matthew. You have to get it.
On Spotify or Apple Music though, because they have that little explicit.
Yeah, if you're streaming, it has like a little E.
Your mother won't let you eat stew if you buy that album.
Oh no!
I saw that stew. Look good.
Good snoot.
Good stew.
Good snoot.
Yeah. But yeah. So that's just an example of like, you know, an album art that you see that, and I mean that's the alternative cover, right? But let's just say you see that. And you know, you're kind of prepping yourself to see what you're going into with, right? So
that's true.
So I mean for him, he may value that a lot.
Yeah,
he may not. I mean, he's an artistic mind, so I'm sure he, you know, put a lot of thought into that album cover.
Yeah,
but
it can reflect the music. It can reflect a lot of different things, like where you are in your life, like like a visual representation of like where the songs came from. It can mean a lot of things. But I feel like, to me, it does have to at least mean something. Even if that meaning
for
is,
sure.
I don't care. Like,
or what happens if it's just a beautiful picture? What happens if it's just like a beautiful piece of artwork that
what
doesn't
if
have anything to do with the music?
Then I think that's cool enough.
Oh.
You know?
Cool enough.
Like Ye's album cover? That he just took like right before.
I was talking about that one before.
Yeah, he just took like on his way to the screening or something of it. It's just like a picture of mountains, and it just says.
Yeah, it was the album release party
album release party. It was like he was gonna have a different album, and it was just he's just like, I just want to do this. And what does it say? Like I hate being bipolar. It's awesome or something
like
that.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
So, but that's just that's Kanye because he stirs up controversy right? He's so quirky. So
I mean,
so,
if you just want it to be a cool picture, then like that's meaning enough, right? It's kind of like why you get a tattoo. Sometimes it has a meaning, and then other times it's just because you fucking
super
can.
Personal.
So why not?
Or it's just for yourself,
right? Mm-hmm. But there, I would also say that there are some really dumb album covers that I feel like If you didn't care, you could have at least picked a better picture. Or, like, you could have at least designed this a little bit better so it doesn't look like shit, you know? It's like you don't get a face tattooed on your ass.
Why not?
Bet. But what about, I don't know if you guys know, what about just like Periphery's album art? They're just, it's just a P. All their albums just have a P on it.
Yeah, it's just, that's their branding.
But that's their like logo.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. They have, that's like their logo, but it's super simple.
So
and it's just a different.
Go back to the branding a little bit.
It's a branding, but with each album, it's a different color scheme. And then they like, you know, they'd update all their social media pages to have that same color scheme.
So it is, it's way more of a branding.
That's way more of a branding thing, right? But that's when something super simple, like just the logo and like they're really, I mean, you can call that art, right?
Yep.
But it's not like super complicated, but that goes really well with their branding.
It's cool that they use that because then you automatically associate that with them.
Oh, 100%.
There's no, like, gray area, you know, whereas, like, other times if, like, man, I wish that we, like, knew about this before, or, like, maybe we could make a video of this where we just show people, like, an album cover and just be like, what kind of music do you think this is? And just see if they get it right, you know, where it's just, like, a random album cover, like, no text on it. Just
like thrash metal, covers like, that you can't
even
read. The
what kind of music do you think this is, right? But it's cool how they do, like, yeah, you associate it with us, and then through the music, then you know like what you're going to be listening to. Hmm. So I guess it ultimately just depends on what you want.
I think we've gone full circle on this conversation.
We've gone full circle so many times, and then we found that
if you're still listening,
actually a bigger circle.
If you're still listening, we appreciate that.
Well, I think it's that.
Well,
I think
well.
It's about that time to do a little ditty.
I won't be able to sing into the microphone.
Do 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 do.
You'll still be
maybe we should just get Matt to play. Do you want Matt to just play, or do you want to play piano?
Well, I thought we were doing the Thunderstruck.
All right,
play something, Matt.
We should all each sing two words only, and we have to try and pass it around. So we'll go clockwise.
Oh,
so we'll start with Rob. You'll sing two words.
Robbie's
you sing
nervous.
Two words. I'll sing two words. We'll keep going around like that.
Dear
but
God.
We have to try and have it make sense and have it kind of meld together a little bit.
So what kind of genre are we going for here? Like, I don't want to just.
I feel like something fresh, something funky.
It's like that one word trying to make like a sentence type thing,
yeah,
but in musical
but
form. But we'll do two words.
We'll do two words.
I dig it.
You want to do one word?
You want to do one word?
Let's do one.
Was this Whose Line Is It Anyway?
The show where the jokes are made up and the points don't matter.
That's right.
Every white person loves Whose Line, man.
That's so true. My dad's like, hey, Whose Line Is It is on. Kyle, come upstairs.
What about
I love improv. What about what?
For sure.
There's a black man on that show.
That's right. Very observant of
Wayne improv. Brady is like the whitest black dude.
No doubt.
Oh, no way.
Oh, wait, no, the new host.
I have mad respect for Wayne Brady.
The new host,
he's
the female.
Oh, yeah, what's
She's
her name?
She's very lovely.
What's her name?
I'm sorry. I hate that new host.
No.
Is she just not
Drew Carey was the shit.
Drew Carey was funny. You know, he could like be on par with the humor of the actors on there. She's just like, well, everyone, wasn't that great? And she's just like rigid and it's not funny.
Very,
and I don't
almost
like it.
Too hosty.
Yeah. It's almost like she's hosting a talk show, but in a really rigid, not funny way.
Anyway.
What we were about to do? Sorry.
We're going to sing a song one word at a time.
That's too
bad. I don't know. Do some blues. Let's do some blues.
Nice 12-bar blues here?
Nice little 12-bar blues.
Oh, jeez.
We should also... This is like the Who's Line of podcasts.
Got a concept at all?
Can we get off Who's Line?
All right, here we go. Robbie, you want to start? One word at a time. He's thinking about it.
I
love
you,
Matthew.
Matthew
was
the best.
Oh, that was two words.
The
best
guitarist
on
the
show.
Okay, can we just abort this now and like just?
Like, I agree.
It was that going was, until I fucked it.
Right, no, no, it was dead from the fucking start.
One word's hard.
No, no, let's just too. Let's just be free, no constraints. Let's do something fun and just have fun with it, guys. Okay.
All right. Now that we've been through this structured bit, let's do some freeform jazz.
Jazz nice? Blues, really.
No.
Blues jazz, really.
I was going to say Jews. I was trying to mix the jazz blues and I said Jews.
I mean, he's not wrong.
You did. You did. You did. Way to go.
You did it.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Very observant.
All right. Good God.
Later. Let me hear that, girl. I want to hear it.
You know I used to love you, girl. You were the number one thing in my world. I can't rap, though.
Until she heard you rap.
Then she realized, ooh shit, this guy can rap. Really fooled her.
You can rap.
You really thought that I could rap, girl, but I can't, no.
No, no, no. No, no,
can't fucking
no.
rap.
No, no, no.
Can't no, rap, no, girl. No bars. Not one single bar.
Not about no.
He thought he had the flow, but then he lost it.
Lost it.
Hey.
He realized he's Eric, and that's a very white name.
Almost as white as Jim.
I mean, I'm sure that there's at least one black Jim, but that doesn't change the fact that it's a white name.
Can't rap, no. Can't rap,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, bring it back. That's the hook right there.
Can't rap, no. Can't rap, no.
He said no more, girl.
Try to put those words together in a speaking manner, but I can't. No.
It has already been established that Eric can't rap. Except if he had the time to put his mind to it.
Yeah, if I had a couple minutes to write the lyrics out on my phone, then maybe I could spit them back to you in a faster fashion than before. Oh, yeah.
But then he found that it's easier to write raps down when you use a piece of paper.
And a pen.
Maybe a napkin or something like that.
Oh yeah, that's what the pros do, yeah.
To
how
me, baby.
J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter was on a napkin.
A really, really big napkin.
Start on a napkin. The greatest things in life. Oh, start on a napkin. Just like our love, baby girl, it all started on a napkin.
Are you talking about when you wiped up your semen?
Yeah.
That's exactly what he's talking about, huh?
Sorry.
Yeah, I still can't rap.
And I hope you heard that all, girl. That was all for you.
Oh, God, kill me.
Yeah, that second one was all right.
I mean, we dialed it in for a bit, and then we lost it.
Lovely, yeah. Hmm. All right, Mike Wazowski.
Maybe we'll cut out that first song.
But
all right, the number one quality you think an artist should have.
Should I just like get the obvious out of the way and just go with musicianship?
Okay.
Okay. I never would have thought of that.
I
well, that's why I labeled it the obvious.
This Matthew guy. He's
nowadays,
really
I don't think that's necessary though.
Oh
no,
fired.
I don't either.
Definitely not.
Shots fired.
I don't think creativity is necessary in a lot of kinds of music.
What you're missing here is Matthew has fallen down.
He can't get up.
He just about ate shit.
He was laying on the back like a turtle.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
I'm back, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my God.
Okay. Thank you. I feel like drive and being hardworking and just having that mm-hmm. momentum counts for way more
than musicianship. Because there's people that make music that people listen to all the time and they don't even know, you know, basic theory. So like musicianship, you want to call it that, right? Like, I think it's having a good ear. But even then, like, if you get someone else doing your production and even your lyrics and you're just like a rag doll, like a body to like, you know, let's say you're a singer or a rapper, actually, because a singer would have at least, you know, some sort of pitch. So you can say they're a bit.
I feel like in the modern music industry, you don't need anything.
Oh, you really don't.
The main thing that you need is you have to know people. You have to know people.
That would be the biggest quality is knowing people. Right? That can help you and get you to where you want to go.
Right?
Starting with a lot of money, let's say, could help
you. You have to be stupid enough to do something that'll get you a lot of publicity.
Right.
And then announce that you want to do a music career.
Quickly. Oh, totally. Get a camera, let's go jump off the roof and I'll break my fucking neck.
What's an example of that?
And then I'm going to write a song about it.
Who's an example of that?
Riff Raff?
I think Bedroom Pop's a good example of just like...
Bad Baddie?
Getting lucky and...
You know that girl that was like...
Bad Baby.
Bad
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
What was her thing? She was on Dr. Phil.
She was on Dr. Phil. Yeah,
what was her thing?
Catch Me Outside.
How about that?
Like, absolutely no fucking talent.
She's got no talent.
I'm sorry. But like...
Besides creating a scene.
She...
What about
made
Rebecca
a big
Black?
Deal.
Yeah, what about Rebecca
what
Black?
What about her? What happened to her?
She's got to have her
I don't
bowl,
think that she's
cereal.
Like tone deaf.
But she's not tone deaf. And like that's the difference is between like something like singing music. Like,
but
that.
Like she's not a good singer.
But she's not. But look
I think she's tone deaf. Have you heard those recordings? They're hella computerized.
Oh, no, they're hella computerized.
Would you say they're as bad as whatever Bad Baby song that's released?
I mean,
that's produced
like,
by Ronnie J
raps,
or something?
Though. That's the thing.
Yeah,
I feel like anybody
could, can do that though. Really,
anybody can rap nowadays,
right?
Absolutely,
except for you.
Not good,
except for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But it'll get views because she's popular in network.
You know,
right?
It's like we were singing about. If I had a chance to like sit down and like, if I had like a I feel like a rap persona and like everything, like the hype surrounding that, and like having a decent ass trap beat. Anybody, and everybody can be a fucking SoundCloud rapper. Anybody can do that.
Yeah, but that. That's like saying anybody can be a painter. You know, you could put some paint on the end of your wiener and smear it on a canvas and call it art, but you're not going to get paid.
I mean, I feel like there's some people out there that could market that pretty well.
I think I actually saw that on tape.
For sure.
You're like, oh shit, I thought of that because I actually did once pay money for a painting that a dude smeared his painted on dick onto the canvas. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like the most important quality to have in a good artist is definitely drive. Is definitely drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anybody can do it. That's just the day and age that we live in now.
And that's where
anybody can put
anybody
music
can sing
up.
A song, but not everybody can have the momentum to like follow through and make
exactly.
a career out of it.
Mm-hmm. You have to like but there's other people that like make shit and they only post it on SoundCloud and they are so good at like contacting people and like getting their shit up on pages and they get like tons of streams.
Business oriented. Yeah.
I feel like just because of how lucrative the music industry is nowadays, the business side of things is way more important than the actual music that you're putting out. Way more important. Because there's so much shit out there right now. And there's bound to be somebody that's better than you. There always is.
Oh yeah.
Not
so
yet.
It's about getting it out there and you know.
Yeah, getting people to it.
To right? listen to it.
Like, I don't know. In
it's
the 70s.
Having, it's having an X factor, I think, like, to a point. Because like I said, like...
You got to market that X factor.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you got to be like, this is what sets me apart. This is why you should listen to my music. This is why I'm not like every other SoundCloud rapper. Or this isn't why I'm like every other, like, dude that's trying to be a singer-songwriter.
You gotta be one step ahead of the, like, I mean, right now, like, the current trap wave. Gotta be one step ahead if you want to really stand out now, like, for the next generation of music.
You have to think about outside the box, too, right? You have to do something different.
Been hearing a lot of shit going, like, alternative, experimental almost now, like, from the underground and starting to come out more into the mainstream with some things. But, I mean, Migos, just trap shit that's out right now. I mean, that's standard, right? So how much more room in that field is there until, you know, people get sick of it, people move on, it's party music.
You kind of have to have the foresight to know when to move on from trends and, like, when to start a trend.
Yeah, it's about starting a trend, too. So I think that's a good way
to be really visionary about
stand out and be vision and, like, yeah, look to the future. And if you want to, like, really create a career for that, then, yeah, look to the future. See what the next maybe five years are going
to
look like.
Look to the future.
You got to pave that shit yourself.
You can look at trends and stuff, and you can kind of see where stuff is going, and you can get ahead of it, for sure.
Yeah, to some extent. Yeah, but I feel like there's no real time for setting a trend. I feel like I feel like it's always time.
It's pretty perpetual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it just, like, depends on whether it happens to be the right time for it to take off.
It's a lot about timing.
Timing
for sure.
Everything. For sure. But it's also, I love the saying, luck is where opportunity and preparation meet. And that, like, if you prepare enough and you get an opportunity and you're prepared for it, then you're gonna fucking skyrocket. But if you get an opportunity and you can't take it because you're not prepared enough, then, like, you're fucking stuck where you are.
Mm.
Right? I don't know. There's a lot that goes into what makes a successful artist successful.
That's deep, yeah.
But, like, I would still say that, like, self-motivation is so huge. And, like, really being able to grind it out. That's a big thing. But also, like, the business side of it is so huge nowadays. It's overwhelming to, like, especially as musicians where we do, I don't know, I feel like I never want to think about the business side of music. I just want to play music and have people listen to it. But there's, like, it's not like the 70s where you could play and have a record label head recognize you, you sign a deal, you release a record, and that's, like, one of however many records in a record store. So somebody's bound to buy your record. But there's so much fucking music.
That's funny that you were talking about that you just wanted to play music and you're not too worried about the business side of it, because there was, I think it was T.I. on one of those radio stations that you see, like, on YouTube, and he was talking about, I have this kit right here. Maybe I'll play it for these guys if you don't mind. It's about how a lot of people that are coming up and they really do just care about the music. They just want to put their music out, and, you know, those people that'll care more about the money, and they'll take their, you know, their artistic brand, and they'll take whatever money they can from it. And let me find it here. Don't know if this will come up very well in.
Like, yeah, you know, that's what I was explaining to somebody. I said, I didn't mind getting jerked because I was like, I just want my record on the radio. I just want to shoot videos.
And get it popping.
I just want to get popping. Look, I don't care. Take my publisher. I don't know what that is anyway. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, just take my shit so I can have a video and songs on the radio. I'll figure it out later.
That's crazy.
And then the next album, I started, I'm like, damn, these checks ain't like the checks that I'm used to niggas seeing. I'm not being able to get 4 and 5 cars or jewelry or things that I want to get. So I'm like, let me figure out what's the loophole in this shit while I'm not winning.
Isn't it crazy that it makes you question what kind of friends you had back then, because they weren't telling you how the business was run, and it was just...
See, that goes to show maybe they wasn't never really my friend.
I wish there wasn't an orchestral thing over that, but I could have brought that up on YouTube. But if anyone did hear that, yeah.
That's cool.
It's an interesting concept, because he really cares about the music, and there's people that are more into the industry side of it. And I mean, like, it's no, like, question that the industry is, like, a giant trap for a lot of people.
I feel like
music-wise,
you can't be ignorant to it, though.
You can't be ignorant to it, because it still is very big, but with social media as well coming out, a lot of people are going either freelance or just no record at all, and or just, like, you know, keeping that keeping your artistic image is really important. And if you have someone that's like, okay, you got to release an album like this, under these guidelines, like that's how it was a lot, like more back then. It can be really restrictive for you as a creative, right?
Right.
So that's when you don't want to fall into those like corrupt record deals. So that's just something interesting.
Yeah, and I mean the record industry has really evolved. I feel like a little, not a whole lot, but I think they're finally catching on to the fact that like they're becoming obsolete. So they're doing things that are way different now to try and appeal to artists. And yeah. I mean, people still sign record deals.
For sure. But it's like you get an advance. You spend that advance on making an album. You tour or whatever you do, whatever you got to do. And a lot of you here, no matter what, you end up still in the black? In the red? In the black.
Yeah.
You still end up behind. And then you owe the record label money.
Yeah.
And then the cycle repeats when you go to create another record.
You're pretty much like in a perpetual state of like owing the record
company. Owing the record label, even though you're getting $400-$500,000 advances, right? It totally depends, right?
Deals. What was that?
Sorry? It's like the bottom 2% of artists profit from record deals.
Mm-hmm. It's very small, right? So
I mean, and those are the people that are on the radio all the time. I mean, that that argument can't be made for people like Ed Sheeran or Ariana Grande.
Oh, for sure, because they've skyrocketed, right? They've skyrocketed. Like they're the biggest in things in the world
they're
right
that
now,
2%, right?
Yeah. But I just read that about Ariana Grande, like. Her newest song or whatever. I actually haven't listened to it, but it was like it reached like 100 million streams in like a couple of days. It was like the first song to do that like really quickly. And I'm like, Ariana Grande. I'm like, is she that big? Like, I guess she is, but like in
she's huge.
But that surrounds like all the social media controversy of, you know, Mac Miller and Pete Davidson? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Her ex. Yeah, but that's a little of it. But like, she's huge now. I didn't even realize she was that big.
Ariana Grande is really strange because it's like you got these huge artists like, you know, like Katy Perry and whatnot, and like I can't name a bunch of her songs, but I can't name a single Ariana Grande song.
Oh, yeah, no, not at all. Right? But like, apparently she's the biggest thing in the world right now.
She's not the biggest thing in the world right now.
Well she's one huge. Of them, she but she's huge.
The biggest artist, the person that has sold the most records, that is like still in the top 100 is Adele. Like. Adele.
What has Adele done recently? I haven't heard.
She sold like 30 million.
Oh, she sold a lot. I know she's huge, but like I just haven't heard anything recently from her. Maybe I'm sleeping. But.
Like she is the benchmark for like almost every pop artist now. It's like her record sales are through the roof. It's
but
insane.
She's a talented musician.
Extremely talented.
Those people are like, once you get to the top there, once you get to like that level, like they're all,
most of them you'd say they're talented musicians. Like.
Yeah, no.
Who's up there that high that like you'd say maybe like isn't like talented at all or like?
What about Selena?
Gomez?
Does she? But she can sing, can't she?
She's got enough.
She's got like.
There's a point where you have enough, right?
She's got the most followers on Instagram of any person. She's got the most followed Instagram page.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
Yeah,
but what does she do when she gets on stage?
Like I said, I can't recall.
Is it a backstroke? She bees attractive.
That's very
That's
true.
What she does. I'm sorry. True. I'm sorry. You can be offended. She gets on stage. She's got all these dancers. She's extremely attractive. No, she can barely sing. She doesn't write her own songs. No. And she has the most followers.
The reason why that she's up there is because she was a Disney Channel star that actually caught a break. She's and new producers.
Yeah, she sings these. Music. She sings these songs and she has these like you know things about her that appeal. She makes her a role model. Right, and there's like this big following of women that are really like they respect her for what she stands for, and then there's a huge following of men that have a boner for her, and then, I'm sorry, but she doesn't do anything musically amazing.
And she hasn't really made a lot of music lately, though.
No, but she's still massive.
When it comes to like TV stars that are broken to the music industry, I feel like she's done the best out of everybody. But I feel like that's not because of her. It's because of her writing team. It's because of her people that put
on
her shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's the fact that she is so likable. Like, she has everything else going for her, so then her music thrives.
I would say that spot kind of belongs to Miley Cyrus.
I'd say that Selena Gomez is far more successful and far more respected than
Miley Cyrus. I would say they're on par with each other. I would say they're on par with each other.
I mean, Drake wasn't really famous from Degrassi.
Maybe not famous, like but like, I knew him from Degrassi.
Miley's got a lot more music under her belt.
She does, but
and she was
Miley was more popular
years
ago.
She's a better singer
though,
than Selena.
She?
I don't know who I'm just trying to think.
She's dropped off the web.
I'm
going to
look at the stream
like, year.
Recently,
like,
I think she's dropped off. Yeah,
yeah,
but
like, you might be right.
She wiped her Instagram clean and all that stuff and hasn't done anything on there. Right. But
so Miley
like,
Cyrus's Party in the USA has 300 million streams on Spotify, rounded up. Selena Gomez, her number one song, has...
Oh, it's got to be quite a bit.
330 million streams. Actually, no. 784 million.
Is that... what
and I can't name a single one of her songs, but I can name you a ton of Miley Cyrus' songs.
I know, but like...
I would say they're on par with each other.
They're kind of, they kind of are on par with each other. But I
Miley
feel
Cyrus
like
was the
Miley
biggest
Cyrus
star in the world.
Is a more talented musician. I'll give you that.
Doesn't Selena have like a makeup line?
Of course.
I feel like
she has all kinds of shit.
Yeah,
but
I feel
the
like
reason,
that's one of the
that's why
biggest...
she's so successful is because everything else outside of her music. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus is a far better musician.
Yeah.
Although, I was eating dinner a few hours ago, and that song Wrecking Ball came on, and it was weird.
Jesus Christ.
It was weird. I'm listening to it going, this song was fucking huge.
What was
this
that?
Song was 20? Massively,
was.
Massively
the music
successful.
Video that came
and
out.
I think it was because of the music video.
Yet,
it was
because yet, of the music video. That is the most ridiculous song.
It's because she was like almost naked in the music video, and it was after
I'm listening to the song. I'm like, how could a song like this be that successful? Like that song is so arbitrary. Like
because of her past image as well, and then transitioning into this new sexually flamboyant, like out there.
I feel
like
pop music has so much more to do with what people are doing outside of the music.
Yeah,
than
the actual music itself. Mm-hmm. The only people that are like exceptions are like Ed Sheeran and Adele, because their private lives are like close shut.
Yeah,
but because Miley Cyrus and Selena Gomez are like TV stars. Like they're already in the tabloids.
That's right.
So their people pay attention to their what's going on in their music a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I find it depressing.
But like what qualities do those people have as a one up on people like Frank Ocean or like
Evagina?
I wouldn't call it a one up. I would say
depends
that
what you classify as a one up, yeah. You mean like just like
popularity?
I mean
popularity? Like what quality has made those people more successful?
Being approachable and doing things that are trendy at the time. Like when Miley Cyrus was hugely famous, the thing that was the big deal with the kids was partying. Well, wasn't it? Like it was like all about
that's
the club.
Even bigger now. Like it's getting bigger and bigger. That's why the whole... you know, popular music scene is around like
yeah.
pop music now, right?
Yeah, but like you listen to her lyrics. Party in the USA. Everything else after that. What was that other song? It's my party and I'll play if I want to. You know that?
Yeah.
You know that? Like.
Oh right.
People are in the club. People, they can't stop. That's what it is. People are in the club going off on that song and they're high on drugs and they're having
sure.
this fucking religious experience.
Time of their life.
And she's and you know that they relate to that and then that becomes their jam and then she becomes. You know.
So it's definitely about you know. Putting your music out if you do want to be super popular, doing as much as you can and to the best of your ability
yeah, I mean,
to make
have,
it accessible
to
appeal to the masses,
yeah.
right? Maybe Frank Ocean doesn't appeal to everybody as much because he may come off as more, in
and
some cases, avant-garde than other people. And he doesn't
want
to.
He doesn't.
If he did, he would tour.
That's always
right?
been him.
He never toured after. He didn't tour after Blonde. He did a couple shows. If he really wanted to appeal
to everybody.
That's
what I like about Frank.
And that's what I respect about him, because he's about the art.
People are like, oh, he doesn't do enough. People are like criticizing him for not releasing enough, but it's like he's just living his life. Like, you know, he made music. Yeah. He likes making music. He likes also living his own private life.
Private life.
By himself without constantly having to tour and constantly having to be on the road. You know?
So the people that say he hasn't released enough, you counter that with, well, name something bad he's released.
Yeah, and like...
And they can't say anything.
And look at his life. You know, he released enough that he's now living the dream that he created for himself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, what is that? What was that dream for him, right? I mean, like, if all he wanted from music was to, like, live off of his music, then, like, fuck yeah, he did it.
Would I complain if he released more? No.
But ultimately, you know, it's what makes him happy. And how much money could he have made off a Blonde tour? Holy shit, a lot. Oh, crazy. He would have sold out lots of stadiums, right? Like people really do like that album. But
he played some shows.
Yeah, I saw some on YouTube actually. Just incredible for what
he
did play. But he could have made did a world tour of that album if he really wanted to.
Yep.
And cash in millions of dollars, but you know.
It's not what it's about for him.
It's not what it's about for him. So
yeah.
that's, you know, the difference between like a mainstream.
I feel like being genuine is a really good quality to have as an artist. Something that you need to keep in mind. And even like, I feel like even big artists like Selena Gomez or Miley Cyrus, just because we've been using them as examples, they are pretty genuine people.
Yeah.
But put it this relatively. Way. But put it this way. Are we going, like, at least when I'm, you know, let's look maybe 30, 40 years in the future, I'm still going to remember, like, you know, Channel Orange, Blonde, or whatever. Am I going to be talking as much about, you know, but Party in the USA? But that's just me. But, like, I want to hear what you guys would say. Would you say you would talk more
what
about...
Do you hear, what do you hear on throwback radio stations right now? The big pop songs.
A lot of either pop songs or, like, depends what station I'm on, but, like, just big rock songs from the 80s.
But everybody liked those songs. You're not going to hear
true.
Those underground
but
artists.
You're right? not going to hear them, but I'm going to be listening to them. But that's just me personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
so, but that's because like,
population.
And it, yeah. So if you're into the mass populations, then yeah, then I guess you will
that's
go back to those.
It, right?
But
that's why.
I don't find it as genuine as something that
yeah.
Frank. So that's just me though, right? But like, maybe you guys have different points on that.
I would agree with you though.
Maybe
I haven't been listening to a lot of radio. The only time I was
just anything
to radio was on CBC.
Oh, I really don't listen to the radio anymore.
Yeah,
very,
so
very rare. Occasionally.
Really rare. But I mean,
occasionally,
the radio's kind of become the streaming service now, where like the streaming services are still pushing the same people that the radio stations have been pushing.
I feel like the radio has become big in a local area. You know, like people turn into their own local stations, and then those stations, you know, like for example, the Zone on Vancouver Island is a really like they're really good for supporting local acts. Like they have a band of the month every month, and like
I appreciate that
they spread the local artists around Victoria really well, and there's a big community there, and I feel like I like that about that kind of radio, like small stations like that. But at the same time, I'm listening to the radio regardless, and I'm going, I don't like this song, I don't like that song, I don't like this. Oh, I kind of like this song.
Yeah,
and then, you know,
it's too wishy-washy, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But like, also, do you feel like?
Maybe
because
I'm just a cynic.
Of the amount of control that people now have over the what kind of music that they want to hear, that's kind of why the tide is kind of shifting. Because before it was like, oh yeah, you hear it on the radio, and the only way that you would ever be able to hear that person's album is if you went to the record store and bought their album.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can
stream
a Spotify Discover playlist based on what you like to listen to, and you can sift through it. It's not like the radio where you're just like, you're stuck with five good stations.
And in better quality too.
Yeah.
So really, what's the selling point of listening to 94.5 or 103, right?
I think there's a lot of people that argue there's no good radio stations.
I mean, no.
It depends because people also do it for, you know, the personality of the radio people. But
like I said, like I've only listened to like basically two radio stations in the past like 5 years or so that I've actually enjoyed. One CITR, that's a UBC station.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they have, like, every hour is just something completely different, and you hear so much shit you'd never think to listen to. Like, we'll have 1 hour where it's, like, underground 80s pop punk, or not pop punk, just, like, old school punk, and then they'll have, like, new indie stuff, and then they'll be playing a bunch of, like, good R&B or something. Just completely, just jumping all over the place.
But it's so much more personalized now. It's like there's finally a dude that's sitting in a radio booth that people listen to. Right, that it's like he has a Spotify playlist there, and he's just like, "This is what I've been listening to lately." It's not like big radio stations where they're like,
big
"This
pop
is
too.
What you have to pay. This is what you have to play."
Yeah,
you know, I mean, in Canada we have like a certain percentage that has to be Canadian content, but like, still, like, people pick some good shit that's Canadian content. They'd have no trouble with that. Whereas like big radio stations, fucking Shawn Mendes, Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Like
Drake,
right? That covers their Canadian content.
So
that covers it.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy, though.
Well, shout out to CBC2 for showing me Bahamas. Shout out to Bahamas too. They're a killer Canadian band.
Shout out.
Really nice vibes with them. They're
I've never
an
heard
awesome band. They're great. Fantastic.
Yeah. So it's like when you're on Spotify, what makes those artists that you are like, oh yeah, like those guys are cool, and then you become a big fan of them. What did those artists do?
Oh yeah,
that the bigger pop artists didn't do that made you like them more.
More genuine music.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when I listen to pop, I'm listening to people that are just putting on some kind of a gimmick.
Yeah.
That
too formulaic?
Yeah. They're putting on some kind of a like a facade because they know it sells really well.
Mm-hmm. Nothing interesting, really?
Yeah. To me, I'm not really into you. What's usually popular. So I'm not usually that interested
agree.
In what...
Yeah, basically agree.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about what's usually popular in terms of music. I just mean like usually the trends I'm not... it's not like it's not even like I'm disinterested in the trends. I just don't even know what they are. I'm like, what are people doing just nowadays?
Unaware.
Yeah.
Well, let's get everybody's closing statement, quote unquote, on the matter because we are.
Yeah, we've been rambling.
We've been rambling for a while.
Jeez.
A good discussion though. We've actually enjoyed.
If you're still listening.
Yeah.
Cheers to that.
Final thoughts, Matt. Any final thoughts?
Go check out Bahamas.
I'm going to go check that out. Shout out to Bahamas. What kind of music is it?
They're, I don't even know what we'd call it. It's just, they're really chill. Mm-hmm. It's real instruments. It's not a bunch of computers.
Wow.
It's,
real instruments.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, check out Bahamas.
Check them out.
Robbie?
Any final thoughts on this issue or just any final thoughts at all?
All right.
All right, Kyle.
Well, all right.
I don't know. What? Okay, let's just name that trait that we think an artist should have in this day and age. What's important to you personally?
I don't want it to just be like one of those snobs, but like I'm finding basically most of the new music I've discovered has been off like Instagram or something, and it's these like musicians' pages. Where it's like there's a really popular page on Instagram called Pickup, and it's just like it features clips of all these like different musicians from around the world, and they're just all just amazing musicians.
Yeah.
And it's you just discover. I just been discovering people like that mostly off Instagram. Mm-hmm.
So you feel?
I feel that.
Just.
You'd say being able to market yourself.
Yeah.
Well, ultimately,
what was
I
the
guess
trait
that's most important?
What was the trait that's most important to you in an artist?
Being a musician.
Being a musician.
Being an actual musician, yeah.
Yeah. Having, like, crazy good musicianship.
Yeah, just being able to get on stage and actually do something, not just, you know, dance around with your asshole hanging out. Shout out to Miley Cyrus.
Oh, yeah. What was that with, what's that dude's name?
With Robin Thicke?
Robin Thicke. Yeah. That's off topic, but yeah, Robin Thicke. I remember that.
What was your trait?
I agree with Matthew, but I also think that a lot of the time when musicians are like really technically amazing, they often are an entirely unsung hero. Hmm. So if you're one of those people that is really amazing at playing music, but you find that you don't like trying to put yourself out there and you don't like the business side of it, get those around you that can do those things for you. Because I feel like there needs to be a huge amount of drive and a huge amount of feelers being put out into the world in order for you to succeed. You can't just be a good musician. So use others to your strengths if you don't have the strengths.
Said, if you have a band that's just full of people that can 100% handle the music, then it leaves more space for you to outsource, you know, the social media presence type of thing, you know.
Yeah, working with those.
Because if you don't have to pay for a producer and pay for all this recording and whatnot, you can do that yourself, and then all your money can just go towards, you know, your online presence and publicity and what have you.
For sure. So leaning on others and not being afraid to.
Just not leaning on others for your music.
Hmm. Ah.
Oh.
Okay. But that was yours, Rob?
Yeah.
What about you, Kyle?
What was the exact question?
I'm sorry.
I can't remember the exact
question.
We're
trying to wrap this up. It's
We're getting there, people.
We're tripping over the
finish
line.
It was like what the most important attribute is for like an artist.
Yeah, what stands out to you? What makes you like listen to an artist again?
Listen to an artist again? Hmm.
What made you a fan of your favorite artist?
Who's the last person you discovered?
Rawness. So that doesn't have to be necessarily like good by like... a mass appeal standard, but if your music's like raw, and that doesn't even have to be like the most musical, but it'll keep me interested, it, I listen to a lot of weird shit, so maybe that's me, but...
So in a way, would you say relatable?
So I would say maybe not... Well, relatable is cool, but like I just think putting all... That was the biggest pop of my life. I think putting your emotion into it, regardless of how musical that is really cool. I mean, it may not be a selling point for you, but like for me, I think it's cool to hear someone's raw emotion.
So like
their bumhole?
Being genuine.
If I can literally hear someone's bumhole, let's just say they want if somebody wanted to if somebody wanted to shart into a track and that was their thing, I won't listen to them again. But hey, they did their thing, so I don't know. Rawness is cool. I think rawness is important.
Raw dogging it.
I love going
so,
raw.
So by that, maybe yeah, just being not real. Not selling, being real, and not selling out unless selling out is what you want to do. Right. But that's your choice.
Nice.
Yeah, I could say so many things about that, but yeah, that's that.
What about you, Eric?
What about me?
What about you, Rick?
I mean, I agree with all you guys for sure, but I think that the biggest thing that I really enjoy and what really makes me stick to an artist really just turns me the fuck on. No.
Tell me, Eric.
I mean, the last artist that I like really, really got into and like just enjoyed everything about was Donovan Woods. And like the first music was great. Like everything that you guys talked about is really, really good. But the main thing for me is that as an artist, you have to be somebody that is willing to not only put themselves out there, but also be like a person that's in the public eye and not necessarily like popular, but you have to be comfortable with attention and you have to be comfortable with putting yourself out there. And like, if somebody wants to come up and talk to you about your music, don't be a dick. Just be a nice guy. Right. That was like the one thing that really stood out to me that made me really respect Donovan Woods is like, I went to a show and I went to talk to him after and he like, I asked him a question and he's just like, honestly, he's like, I love playing music, but this stuff after like talking to people, he's just like, you have to learn to really, really like that if you want to be somebody in the music industry. I'm like, yeah, that's really true though. Cause you start at your roots, right?
So good point.
I think being able to connect with people, connection is hella, hella important.
And show them your bum hole.
Show them your bum hole.
And that's what music's all about. Ultimately,
whip your ass out.
Connecting with people, that's what music's all about. Yeah. So that's a really good point, man. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. Anyway.
Let's play it out here.
It's been a jive. I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to more episodes.
For sure.
Could talk forever.
Yeah, we could. We
really
on.
Could. Couldn't
ramble
we?
On.
Yeah, and if you listened all the way through, thank you.
Thanks for everybody for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this episode of Unscripted. You can follow us on Instagram at bandwidth.music. Go to our website, bandwidthmusic.ca. We got blog posts, we got videos, all that good shit. Check that out. Make sure that you give us your feedback. Let us know what you think. We're super grateful for you guys and for the success that we've felt over the first couple episodes of this podcast. We're gonna stop talking. Enjoy the rest of your whatever, and we'll see you next episode.